And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it's great to have y'all here on Monday morning. Looks like it's going to be another gorgeous day. And speaking of gorgeous, Jamie Coffey is here with NAS Whiting Field to tell us all about what is happening and has a guest with her as well. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. How was your weekend? You know I have to ask.
It was good. It was good. I had kind of a relaxing weekend. Got to hear an interesting author tell the story of his new book, a local author. Ooh. And I'm going to have him as the guest tomorrow on the show.
Oh, we've got to listen in.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so very good. But other than that, a whole lot of nothing.
Oh, that's so good. That's what's great about summer weekends. You know, you can decide, but then if it gets too hot, stay inside and get some stuff done. So it's been really awesome.
I did. A little laundry, all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How was yours?
A productive weekend. We had Saturday morning, we had our neighborhood had a group yard sale.
Mm-hmm.
And, this community loves their yard sales. Really fun. Really fun to have that.
The whole neighborhood did it?
The whole neighborhood. So a lot of participation, a lot of folks. And you get to meet a lot of people from the community. And again, I can't say enough about this community. Just really nice to meet folks, and everybody gets a deal and steal,
okay,
you know?
Okay, well, I'm a little mad at you. You should have told me about this, because I could have been out there to get some good bargains.
My garage is now clean.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to jump right in.
Okay, good.
Because we talked about good weather, but today I want to talk about what happens when we have not so good weather.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so News Radio, so we have talked. I know that you guys have talked in the last 6 months to a year with emergency managers from the Santa Rosa County, from Escambia County as well. So we absolutely appreciate our folks. And we'll talk a little bit about how we partner with emergency operations and emergency management in our county with NAS Whiting Field.
Your timing is perfect because we now have an active Atlantic. Hurricanes are starting to pop up and they're coming off the coast of Africa. So we're moving into our season here.
Yep, 100%. Everybody was kind of watching Aaron, and now we're watching the storm that's going to come after Aaron. So we'll talk about that today. So I have brought somebody special with me, coworker, friend, just an awesome guy all around, and just somebody who just knows his stuff when it comes to emergency management. So by a miracle, he said yes this time. So Rudy Mendiola, NAS Whiting Field emergency manager, is here, and he's in the house to talk all things weather and emergency management. Rudy, thanks for coming on.
Welcome, Rudy.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that. And thanks for the intro, Jamie.
Yep, absolutely. So before we kind of jump into emergency management and weather and hurricanes, can you kind of give us a little rundown on your Navy career? So you're a civilian now, you're in the GS world,
right.
As a civilian now, like I am. But let's talk a little bit. You were in the Navy for a little time?
Yeah, just a little bit. actually joined shortly after high school in 1980. And my career spanned about 31 years. Enlisted as a computer tech, a data systems technician. And then I was extremely fortunate and blessed to have been conferred a commission in 2001 as a naval officer, where I served as a surface warfare officer for a little bit. My career allowed me to visit a lot of great places, interact, more importantly, with a lot of great people, a lot of great mentors that kind of helped shape my decision and where I'm at today. So extremely blessed to have them in my life.
Absolutely love having all of your Navy experience, not just your emergency management know-how, but to have all that naval background for situational awareness. It makes him very effective at what he does and how he leads out at NAS Whiting Field. So we absolutely appreciate all of that. So how long have you been doing emergency operations out at NAS Whiting Field in Milton?
So officially, almost 11 years.
Okay.
Unofficially, because unfortunately, just like we normally encounter with the federal government, we have some gaps.
Yep.
Particularly when we're trying to fill specific positions. So I was actually advising the installation for 2 years prior to that. So extremely fortunate as the installation training officer prior to being the emergency manager, I was able to attend and go to all the required schools and training so that I would be able to facilitate being the emergency manager and once that position became available.
So. During that time period, you also have already experienced some major storms.
Yeah, we sure did. You know, growing up, too, I'm actually from a small island country in Guam.
Wow.
So out in the South Pacific, you know, we encounter typhoons instead of hurricanes. So we kind of grew up already having that experience and background. So that kind of helped out, as, you know, Jamie indicated, in this career path. So
yeah. So EM kind of operates, I'll say emergency management, and I say EM for short just because we acronym everything in the military. But it operates kind of like it comes up in order to protect our personnel and our military assets from inclement weather, which we talked about, to aircraft mishaps, to security threats. So your role, Rudy, is absolutely vital. What does the emergency manager do to be prepared for all of these emergencies? Can you talk a little bit about what emergency operations, what the operations center does as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we actually operate in a framework of emergency management programs that are outlined in five phases of operation. The first one is preparedness, where we give information out both to our military families and civilian personnel on the installation about, hey, these are the things that you may want to consider when developing your own emergency preparedness plan for you and your family. The next one, of course, is response. And this is how we will deal with any type of incident or event that we may encounter while doing any type of normal operations. Recovery basically just outlines, you know, how are we going to come back from this incident or event? You know, how are we going to restore what the new norm is going to be once we, once we finish responding and correcting the incident. And then mitigation, you know, we all know that sometimes the best laid plans don't always work.
Right.
So we try to do lessons learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
We take specific steps or measures to help try to minimize the amount of damage we can expect, or at least, you know, to prepare for that. And then something unique to the military is sustainment, you know. Those are unique to military organizations because every few years we have a large rotation of personnel, you know, because they transition, they have orders, and, you know, we get a new group or slew of personnel coming in, so we have to train back up to make sure that we are meeting that metric.
And that makes sense, too. Yeah. And, you know, nobody complains about training, but it completely makes sense when we say, oh, we're going to train again or something, another exercise. But that's just one of those reasons why we do so many exercises. One, we have to be prepared and then be creative about what scenarios we choose to be prepared for, because you just never know, you know, nothing happens in a book, you know, at all. You just,
absolutely,
life happens and you just cannot prepare yourself for everything. Unless you're continually training, and then having personnel turnover, it just creates a continuity there for everyone and for the entire team to always be ready.
So what helps us is, you know, we have a series of pre-planned responses to include all the supporting elements that may be needed to address an incident or event in an emergency. And those pre-planned responses are typically reviewed and approved by higher authority, you know, to make sure that, hey, we are not going to operate outside of what we're authorized to do, you know, by incurring, you know, unauthorized costs, or, you know, working with organizations that are not, you know, clear to work with military organizations. So sometimes that can be a challenge, especially because, you know, in the end, people just want to help each other out. So that's really what it's trying to do.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's shift a little bit over specifically to hurricanes. So when, especially since Aaron is coming through, and it's
not so subtle reminder that we're in the season now.
It truly is. We have to be ready. When a hurricane becomes a threat to the local area or a military base or our military base, I know there's some prep work and partnering kind of going on with the days and the weeks leading up to that hurricane. Can you talk a little bit about?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is we execute a series of conditions of readiness, or as Jamie indicated, you know, because we are core, I'm sorry, we are acronym heavy in the military.
We are.
So we call those things core attainments.
Mm-hmm.
And then we report to our senior or higher headquarters. The core attainments basically are procedures that provide a notional timeline for the installation to prepare for a destructive weather event before making landfall or direct impact. So typically we have five cores. Core 5, which basically is where preparedness phase during hurricane season, which is June 1st and November 30th. Core 4 is when we're within about 72 hours of impact. Core 3 within 48 hours. Core 2 within 24 hours. And then Core 1, of course, within 12 hours, where it's already made landfall. When a destructive weather event is tracked with the Navy region southeast area of responsibility, we'll begin a series of heavy weather briefs coordinated by our regional commanders. These weather products are provided both by the Fleet Weather Center in Norfolk, Virginia, and National Weather Service here in Mobile. They include projected impacts for the installations that may fall in direct path of the destructive weather event, and the information assists the installation commanders to help determine to the extent of the preparedness actions, such as aircraft hurricane evacuation, for some installations, ship sorties, personal evacuation, or for, as you experienced, Jamie, your personal experience for potential flooding areas. And also to, what to do if we're doing special operations unique to that specific installation. So, in addition to coordinating with our regional headquarters, we also attend the National Weather Service Mobile's weather briefs at our local emergency operations center here in Santa Rosa County. It's important that the information and planning executed by the county is understood and communicated to the installation's leadership should there be a potential, for impact to our preparedness, response, and recovery operations. And we also understand that the speed and response and communications is key for emergency management program. You all know all too well, as our public affairs team, Jamie, both you and Christy do an amazing job facilitating our mass warning and notification programs, emergency messaging to all our installation personnel and their families by using key media outlets such as news radio here, local news agencies, and other social media outlets. One thing that's also unique for the listeners out there is our public affairs team, both Jamie and Christy, are credentialed members of the Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Center. Having an established presence at the county and installation levels allows them continued synergy and interoperability between our organizations, just to make sure that we get the story correct and we get it out there as rapidly as possible.
Yeah, we got to get the information out, but we have to get accurate information out.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We have our friends from NAS Whiting Field here, Jamie Coffey, who's the public affairs officer, and her guest talking about a very important topic, emergency management for NAS Whiting Field here in Santa Rosa County. Rudy, and I don't want to mess up your last name, Mendiola?
Hey, that's really good.
Hey, okay.
I've had people pronounce it so differently so many times, I'm not even sure I'm saying it correctly.
So. We won't even go to what my last name is. That's a whole other.
We always say Meg.
Just Meg. Meg's good.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, it's so interesting to hear your perspective on it, because people maybe don't realize the coordination that it takes and the preparation that happens a year, months out before an actual event occurs.
Training, preparation, and partnership. That's what I say. Rudy works with so many different agencies, and he talked about that and mentioned that our partners with National Weather Service and all the agencies, it's kind of like the military says, the chain of command, from small agencies, from local agencies to state to all the way to the very top, to the national level.
Right.
So that is something you have to work together, and that's what we saw in the Emergency Operations Center, specifically in Santa Rosa County, which is located in Milton. So this has been a key when all the partnerships, when all the partners come together in, so to speak, one room in one building, and we all work together. And recently we all came together for a training exercise and to prepare. News radio was there. They were in-house to kind of watch that happen. Andrew came in, and we also had some media partners come in to watch us do some of that preparation. And sometimes it's just about networking and partnership and
absolutely
exchanging that information so that we can be a self phone call away or a text message away. So not only does NAS Whiting Field work as a team and preparing and training, but then we reach out. I always say it's like a pebble in the pond, mm-hmm. or think about that rock in the pond. Mm-hmm. The bigger the rock that you choose to hit in that water, the bigger wave that you will make, and you want those waves. You want that extension of that information and that training and that preparedness to extend as far out as you can get it.
And if you have a question about this topic, feel free to text it in at 850-437-1620.
So let's talk like people for a second here. We were kind of talking big picture. Mm-hmm. Rudy did a really great job of kind of explaining how we do that response and the training and how it all works. But going back to the personnel, we always say in the Navy, be ready. Mm. You have to be ready. So one of the things that we talk about on the Ready Navy program is being 3 to 5 days, right, Rudy?
Yes.
We should be...
Yeah.
People should be prepared. What does that mean when we say 3 to 5 days?
So what happens is, you know, following an incident or event or destructive weather event, for instance, you know, they used to say that the first 72 is on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what that means is it's going to take about 3 days before any type of relief services can be mobilized and in position to be able to support the local population.
Yeah.
What we found out is, you know, following COVID, that we have learned that some of those same resources could have a significant delay in delivery due to availability of that resource, either from the manufacturer or the distributor, which now they're talking about 5 to 7 days. So right. You want to keep in mind that there's also a processing period to order, inventory, ship, and deliver those products that could take or add time to our ability to be able to provide emergency supplies. So there are a number of online resources that you could use to help you plan and prepare for emergency supplies that could best fit your needs. Some considerations when looking at what emergency supplies that your family could need is food, of course. Consider non-perishable goods, such as well as specific dietary needs to include pets. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't think about that, and they are equally important, you know, especially if we have to do any type of sustainment.
Okay. Right. And we talked about that earlier today. We were all out in the front talking about we're all pet people.
Yes.
Where a lot of us are animal people. And I want to reiterate something when we talk about what you need to do to make sure that your pet is ready for an emergency. You never know when you may need to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And in that case, if you have a cat or a dog or a ferret, you need to have not just a bottled water for your pet and some food, but if you have to go somewhere into a shelter that's pet friendly, you should have a cage. You should think about that now.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the thrift store. Mm-hmm. Go to places. Find one on sale. But find some type of cat carrier. Not to mention that when you're in a vehicle with your family, you want to keep that pet safe too while you're traveling. There's traffic.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to not always be calm during the preparation of a hurricane,
right,
and it's looming and
it's
things
chaotic.
Happen. It is. So that's just something that you need to think about. If you have, you know, we were kind of joking that if you have a mini pony, you should think about, like, how are you going to get that pony out? Because what's going to happen is you're going to make maybe not the best decision and decide mm-hmm. to stay home because mm-hmm. you're worried about your pet because you have a large pet. And then you decide, but buy a trailer because in a pinch... Mm-hmm. You can get that little pony out. It's not a great, you know, it's not a great mm-hmm. scenario, but in an emergency, you can move that pet so that your entire family can be safe.
Yes.
There's evacuation orders for a reason, and mm-hmm. we have to follow those local mandates.
Yeah, we have to be careful here because so many of us, I've been through a storm. I'm not leaving to a category two or this, that, and the other. And a lot of times those smaller category storms have tornadoes.
Yes.
And they have other aspects to it and flooding and things you may not anticipate. And every single one of them has been different.
Yep. Meg,
that is a great point you make because, you know, the secondary and tertiary effects created mm-hmm. following a destructive weather event like a hurricane, you know, can be equally, if not more, dangerous.
Right.
You know, so we become complacent,
mm-hmm.
Especially we've been extremely blessed here, you know, in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, where we have not really had a lot of destructive weather events such as hurricanes impact our area directly. So the last one was Sally in 2020.
And that one kind of caught us by surprise,
yes.
too.
Yeah,
I think we all minimized sure what that was until it hit
by
us.
The time
this is
we
another
found
reason
out.
Why it's, yeah. it's in the evening, and you've got to make sure that your apps and your weather, your mm-hmm. phone is on, and those app notifications are on. You've got to do that mm-hmm. so that you can get those warnings.
And listen to your local radio stations. I'll put in a little plug
Absolutely.
For us because my assignment is over at the Escambia EOC. We have people there from the very beginning. And then you know, updates on, for example, pet-friendly hotels. Mm-hmm. They've gotten much better in emergency situations mm-hmm. now. Some of the hotels north of us will actually say, we're going to make an exception in this circumstance.
Yep.
So you can get that information, too.
Yep.
Yeah, JB and his team down there do a great job.
Yes, yes.
In Escambia County.
They really do.
Some of the other considerations, of course, are going to be water. Your calculation for water consumption per person should also include, you know, what you think you're going to need for cooking and cleaning of those eating utensils. Medication, make sure you have a plan for medication that requires, especially if your medication requires any type of temperature control for storage, you know, some things that we don't always think about.
You know, and I will say this too with pharmacies, and it's something to keep in mind because we've seen this even at our base. If the pharmacy went down for 2 days and people panicked because they were out, they were just out of their medicine. And if you are 1 or 2 days out from your medicine, don't procrastinate. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. An emergency can happen anytime, anywhere. So you have to make sure if you're a week out and you see and you know you need that blood pressure medication mm-hmm. or whatever that is, you need to not procrastinate on refilling those on because what's going to happen is if we do have a hurricane that hits our area, it could affect the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. They could have to shut down. And even they could it shut down for longer than we expect. What if they have a roof leak and there's damage after post-storm?
Right.
When everybody else is up and running, but you still don't have medicine because your pharmacy is out and damaged. So please, please, I make you know, this is something that we just have to foot stomp that don't wait until you're 2 days out. If a hurricane is looming in the Atlantic or it's looming in the in the Gulf, go get your medication.
Absolutely. We did get a question from one of our listeners. It's a pretty good one. It's a little off this topic of preparation, but sort of the same thing. Where does Whiting Field send their aircraft in the advance of a significant hurricane?
So we have two different
question.
Types. Yeah, we have two different types of aircraft. We have helicopters, our TH-73s, and we have our T-6 fixed-wing aircraft. So we already have agreements with other military installations that we can sortie our aircraft to those locations if needed.
Yep.
So everything really depends on the trajectory or path of the storm.
Right.
Which direction that they do what we call a hurricane evacuation or HERVAC to. So,
okay, great.
But those locations are predetermined and already liaised well in advance. And then, you know, as Jamie mentioned earlier, you know, that continual communication and review of our plans and processes, you know, is equally important because we want to make sure that that agreement is still in place.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you for sending that question
great
in.
Great question.
All right. Yeah. And do you have more on our list here of preparation?
We
tips?
Do. I do. Well, I want to mention another, and Rudy mentioned online resources. I want to give you one for know your zone because you should know on your property, you should know your topography of your property and know how high you are in the community, but know where your property is. But you should know if you're in a flood zone and what degree that you're going to get some flooding. Know your zone if you go to the santarosa.fl.gov. So I'm going to say it again, and you can Google it too. You can Google Santa Rosa County Emergency Management. It's going to take you to their website, but it's www.santarosa.fl.gov. So go to santarosa.florida.gov, and you're going to find all kinds of resources for hurricane preparation, know your zones, evacuation zones before and after the storm. So I just wanted to kind of throw that resource out there. And again, local monitoring your local weather is going to be the key there for sure. Rudy, anything else to add for being ready or?
No, I think, you know, we've touched on it quite a bit.
We did.
Stay weather aware. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, it's really going to be the key. I'll have a plan.
Oh, yes.
Make sure you communicate that plan with your entire family.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes what we think is important may not be as important to other people. Mm-hmm. So,
chargers. Bring chargers
absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For those who are so self-independent. Be sure to have communication plan with your family that maybe lives out of town and check-ins. Like, we are leaving now. We expect to be here at this such and such a time.
Yep.
That way they'll know if you're on schedule or not.
It's one thing to share information, but sometimes I think a lesson learned is always impactful. And so in 30 seconds, I will share some of my lessons learned from Hurricane Sally because I was near the bay there. My generator was in a shed and it went underwater.
Oh, no.
Make sure you have that stuff up and off the ground level.
Good point. All right. Thank you both so much for being here on Pep Talk with all this great words of wisdom. Jamie Coffey here. Rudy Mendiola was also here with us. He's the emergency management for NAS Whiting Field. Thank you for your service and all you do for our community. Be safe this hurricane season. We'll be back with Pep Talk in just a few minutes.